Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin with 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery, lit corridors, and excellent parking. They have the space for you to get into your creative endeavors and dig deep. Get better. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. If this show sounds a little different, I am in a hotel room again doing this intro, only this time I'm at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Resort in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm here playing a show with Skyrocket. We're going to be playing at the Daylight Amphitheater, which is actually an amphitheater at the end of a giant pool. So people stand in this giant pool and watch you play. How crazy is that? For a guy that loves pool parties, this is perfect for me. Perfect. I have a great show for you guys. Wonder Bitch is on the show. They are back. They were on the show a little while back, but they have a new single that drops this week. It's called Miracle Drive, and they have given How Did I Get Here the exclusive to play it for the very first time. So at the end of this podcast, you will hear Miracle Drive, their brand new song, which comes out later on this week. They're doing a release show for it at Swan Dive in Austin, Texas on Saturday, April 9th. Get out there and see it. If you do not live in Austin, if you are not familiar very much with Wonder Bitch, get to wonderbitch.com. Check out, you know that a band with a name this cool has got to be this cool. So they are a great band. I enjoy their music. I enjoy hanging out and seeing them from time to time. I just ran into them at an AMF function a couple weeks ago. That was a good time. Had some cocktails. Watched Daniel Eyes and the Vibes play. But listen, you want to have a good time, get out and see Wonder Bitch at Swan Dive on Saturday, April 9th. If you don't live in Austin, go to wonderbitch.com. Make sure you pick up their new single, which drops this week, Miracle Drive. Debuts at the end of this podcast. So if you're really excited and you don't want to hear us talk, just fast forward to the end and then you can rewind and hear it again. Or use your patience, listen to the dudes, get to know Wonder Bitch, and then listen to their jam Miracle Drive at the end of the show, all right? You guys ever been to Vegas? I have a lot of times. The last few times I've been here, I've just been like passing through to play. And, you know, that's the way I like it. I have a good time when I come here. It's not necessarily my town. I think it's kind of weird, and it freaks me out after a little while, especially when I get to my hotel room and I read about how they're trying to conserve energy and conserve water. So be sure you turn your lights off when you leave your room. Be sure that if you're going to use your towels again, you don't throw them on the ground. You throw them on the ground if you want them to be washed, but they want you to use them more than once, so hang it on a hook. I mean, that's ridiculous. When you're in the middle of a desert and there's like fountains that, you know what I mean? Like musical fountains that go off and probably use a bazillion gallons an hour. And they're like, oh, hey, and don't forget to turn off your light in your hotel room. Like that's gonna make a difference, Las Vegas. You guys getting into conservation? I am. All right, hey, look. I want you guys to know that I'm thinking about you right now. I am. I'm totally thinking about you. I'm just sitting in my hotel room. I don't know what to say. I can't really pause this recorder because I got to get down to soundcheck and play at the Daylight Amphitheater in the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Benjamin from the band said that he came here a few years ago and saw Cheap Trick play in the same place that we're playing, so that's going to be exciting. I will post a picture of this place on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Don't forget that you can like our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe on Stitcher if that's how you do it. If you don't like to fill up your phone with a bunch of podcasts and take up all the space, you could stream it. Stream the podcast. You stream your movies, you stream your music. Why not stream your podcast? Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Quick ad right in the middle of the intro. All right, so yeah, I am in Vegas. I go back home tomorrow, so it's not that big of a deal. I'm going to play this thing. We finish at about 11. I'll probably go walk around a little bit, see some stuff, come back, go to sleep, head back to Austin tomorrow, and write some songs, all right? Guys, don't forget that Wonder Bitch, their new single, Miracle Drive, drops this week. We will be debuting it at the end of this podcast. Don't forget that you can go to wonderbitch.com for all of your Wonder Bitch needs. And they are playing Saturday at Swan Dive in Austin, Texas. That's Saturday, April 9th, 2016. Get out and see Wonder Bitch, all right? Enjoy my conversation with these guys. This is our second time doing it, sitting down, having a chat. And have a great week, all right? Here's my conversation with the dudes from Wonder Bitch. Fabulous dudes, amazing band. Let's rock. Let's get down.
Hello, loves.
How's it? Hello.
don't do that.
Hello.
Where did you record this tune?
Actually, Music Lab. Like half of it at Music Lab, half of it at this new studio called 601, and then the remainder, I guess that's two halves. But anyway, the magical extra of the 105th percent was all done at my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the first place?
We did it with let's just say Evan
Wynn, who's the main man behind the band called Chakra Khan.
We recorded the drums with Evan Wynn
at Music Lab
at the what studio?
Studio 57.
Studio 57.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we did the guitars and the vocals at most of the vocals at Studio 601,
which is in South Austin.
Yeah, which is run by High Q Productions.
Do you guys produce yourselves, or did you have a okay?
Yeah, so up till now we've kind of just produced as a group. I'll do most of the tweaks, but then everyone will tell me if they like it or not and all that stuff.
Do you mix it yourself too?
Yeah, kind of by committee.
So we mix that Miracle Drive
by committee.
Yeah, well,
that must be a fucking blast.
It's fine.
Oh, it is.
we have a crew that all kind of thinks very similarly, but just
there's like no tension at all. It's just like you know what. We need more guitar. And you're like, all right, cool. Guitar's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And then what do you send it off to? Who do you master
We'd
with?
We go through Terra Nova. So okay. We had Jerry Tubb do our last EP, and then we had his partner, Nick Landis, do this song. Okay. Just like to try out everybody who's, you know what I mean? Get a good flavor.
And you guys are going to put out like a series of singles, you were saying in that email?
That's the idea. We have all these songs brewing, but no one owes us their attention for a whole album yet, I feel like. We haven't really... Like, if people do their research, they might like us and come listen, but I think we need to, like, impress them, like, six times in a row and then be like, all right, now we got a big thing for you.
Well, I also feel like in the culture of a newsfeed world that we live in...
Yeah.
You know, that's really the only way to get people's attention.
I don't think anybody has an attention span for a three-song demo, like let alone like a six-song EP and like stuff like that. So it's
like when you've gotten to a point where you can actually like, you know, you have people who are hungry for your music, people that are like, they're asking you for, yeah, we want a full album. When that's the feedback that you're getting from your fans, then yeah, that'd be awesome to do.
You probably get someone to pay for it at that point, too.
Yeah. Well, with this weird conversation that we had about demographics and numbers before the show, which is a weird conversation that I don't think artists really have, but like at this point, we all kind of know where we stand with people.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember at a point in the 90s, I didn't know how many records I was selling, but now I know exactly how many everything is happening.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it can be a little overwhelming sometimes with, I mean, it feels like things are kind of oversaturated and just too much, like there's just too much going on. Like you said, everybody has a very short attention span in this news feed driven culture that we have for music. But at the same time, we're given so many tools as artists now to be able to make the music and put it exactly where it needs to go. So it just takes a lot of work and a lot of time actually sitting down and running the numbers, so to speak, and knowing where to put it.
Well, the one thing, it doesn't take that much time. It just really takes a little bit of effort because it's all done for you. I mean, all you have to do is click on a thing and it literally tells you everything that's happened.
Yeah.
It's also good because seeing the numbers like almost brings you like insight of, okay, We're not talking simple enough. What's up?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, seeing all the numbers for me makes me want to be like, okay, how do we communicate this with even fewer words and more explosions and excitement and more bold and more, you know, how do we just talk clearly?
How do we Michael Bay this?
How do we Michael Bay this band?
It's interesting because that's happening across the board and everything. It's gotten to the point where now politics, where like the front-running dude is literally just an asshole saying crazy shit all the time.
Yep. The guy knows how to be famous, man. Yeah. That's like what he's really been best at for like 30 years now.
He really does.
He was in Home Alone. Home Alone 2.
We're talking
about Trump. If you're listening to this years later, we're talking about Trump.
That should say all you need to know about Donald Trump right there. Like, he should have called the cops and had that kid, like, taken to his parents. Not smile at him. Not smile at him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so what I was going to ask is, did you realize that, oh, maybe people aren't demanding a record because you're actually listening and reading and taking in what people are responding to and asking of you?
I feel like it's more of a theory at this point.
A lot of it too is like, you know, I joined the band about 6 months ago, and at a time where, as collectively as a band, they'd gotten to a point where they're redefining the sound, you know, and trying to hone in exactly on what it is that, you know, we're doing now. So the singles kind of help in that way, because instead of committing wholly to a whole sound for 10 songs or 8 songs or however many songs you have on a record, we can evolve it one by one, and we can evolve the production of it. So by the time we do have that much material ready, we can say, oh, cool, yeah, we know exactly what to do, we know exactly what we want, and we can have a cohesive sound at that next level, you know. So the singles kind of help in that way of just like incrementally changing your sound and incrementally evolving, and your listeners evolving with you at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know what it's like when you're writing songs and you're in that kind of development stage and you're trying to figure out exactly what you want. You write 20 songs, and maybe half of those make the cut.
Yeah, or even less, yeah.
So it's cool. Like, people who are actually interested in our music can take that journey with us through the songwriting process.
That's awesome. Did you and I play at this thing together at a Bob Dylan thing? Were you in the house band? It was at Hotel Vegas
a year and a half ago. No, I just look like every other guy.
No, I was just looking at you and I was like, I remember that dude.
Yeah, no, I was on here about 8 or 9 months ago when I was playing with Empire Machines.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Me and Matt Reynolds were up here.
Okay.
That was a fun day, too.
Is that still a band, or is that one of the bands that's broken up since?
They're still together, actually. They're still playing shows. I think they found new guitars. I was just looking for... I guess a better fit would be a good way to say it.
Sure.
I met these guys, and we just seemed to click.
How is the fit? It's fantastic. Yeah.
Good.
It's nice.
Like a glove.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to the show.
Man, I'm glad to be here again.
So you guys are planning to do some touring around Texas. Do you guys have a van or something? Do you guys have a collective?
No, if anyone can help us with that.
How do you do it? Do you rent a trailer? Okay.
We're thinking trailer, but we don't know how to keep things safe. You always hear these horror stories. We don't know how to keep the gear safe. But that's all we can really do right now is get a trailer. But I think we can work it out. We just box it in every
Luckily, night. Most of the shows that we've been playing, I mean, that's the best part of living in Austin. That's why I moved to Austin you're 3 hours away from 10 different places that you can play. So right now we've either rented like a U-Haul trailer and made the trek, or just used two different cars and kind of squashed everything in there. We've been fortunate too.
What vehicle do you have that pulls a trailer and carries dudes?
Big old Jeep.
Okay.
Like a big old four-wheeled or extended Jeep, I guess you call it. Sahara.
The one way that I've noticed to keep it safe, and with my band Skyrocket, we travel, you know, pretty much every week, is now you can get fairly nice hotels through Priceline for pretty inexpensive, and just like, you know, being in a parking garage at like, you know, a Hyatt or Hilton is pretty nice. Generally safe.
I do have a perk. I work for a hotel chain, so it's like very nice hotel rooms with like parking facilities that are with security.
See, that keeps it good.
But that's
it's like when you're in those weird Motel 6s, like on the side of I-35 and like the very bad part of town where you have to back your shit up to your room or whatever.
It's like the guy who owns the motel is going to steal the trailer from you. That's the whole racket.
Yeah, we're fortunate enough to have that perk, but it only applies to like...
Dallas, like Houston, San Antonio.
More major cities in Texas. So like, Dallas, Fort Worth, there's like one in Corpus, South Padre Island, and then but then you have like San Antonio and Houston.
We played a show at in San Antonio, and it was actually Super Bowl Sunday night. We didn't really see that one far enough ahead. But the best part of the whole night was we stayed in that awesome Omni right there in the Riverwalk.
You guys stayed in San Antonio?
Yeah. Sometimes we do little vacations.
Oh, okay.
Because we have that perk. It's like, $40 out of the cut from the night.
Oh, yeah.
The hotel that was available was like one of my favorite hotels that Omni has that I can get a hotel room for. It's right on the Riverwalk, and it's like got a nice balcony and view. But yeah, so it's just kind of like mini.
Can I ask you a weird question that's off the record?
Yeah.
I mean, not off the record, but just off the subject. Is the Omni in Miami still going?
Because
I used to go there since I was like 9.
I think
I was going there.
Movies. I don't think they actually do have one in Miami anymore.
Oh, that's sad.
I think like the only ones in Florida they have are like at Amelia Island, and it's like their own little resort, and then some other random place.
I used to do weddings at the Amelia Island Omni.
Really,
It's really nice.
I heard it's great.
Weddings, like play.
I worked for a friend of mine. His uncle was like a master florist.
And, oh wow.
We used to work there, like setting up all the flowers and decorations and stuff like that. It's like a 70-hour a week job, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of driving.
A lot of flowers.
A lot of sass.
A lot of bees.
A lot of bees.
So where are you playing in San Antonio? Like, where's the...
We played Limelight last time we were
there. Oh, that's a cool place.
It's a great place.
Yeah, it was right next to Hard Bodies. That place was bumping.
Just the posters they have outside the building.
Yeah, it's like, come see Titan, and it looks like a dude that's Riff Raff. You know Riff Raff is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like standing up there, just like pulling his pants down, looking at you like, come on in, baby.
Well, dude, I have actually a show to play, but I'll be in here.
We saw a little bit of police brutality after that show.
Oh, did you? That's exciting.
We got done playing, and like I grab a drink, and I'm walking out, and one of the guys from the venue's running up to one of the other guys that works there, and he's like, some guy's getting his ass beat up front. And I walk outside, and there's 5 cops all trying to arrest this dude, and he's just belligerently drunk and thrashing around and stuff. And yeah, it was a good time. It's a good time.
I was impressed how chill those cops were.
They were actually surprisingly chill.
I was like, hate to see it happen, but it was like they're just like, stop resisting.
I just don't understand it. When you're on the ground and you have 4 cops with their knees on you, and you're trying to pull your arms out from getting handcuffed, like, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think if you get an arm free, they have to send you home? I don't understand. Just lay down.
You got out of the thing. You win.
Yeah. It's like, oh, damn it.
Yeah,
flunks to the head, and that was like, oh, damn.
Okay, send in the bigger cops. I'm ready for the next level.
Those guys have it tough now, man.
Right, all the people were caught up in, like, the YouTube video police thing. All the people were like, you can't do this to him.
Yeah,
and then the security guard.
They're the fucking cops, dude.
Dude, that's exactly how I felt watching it, too, because I've never seen anything like that happen in a reasonable environment. And I was just like, man, these cops aren't doing anything out of the ordinary. Right? No. This guy, if he gets out of there, he's going to hit one of them. That's his vibe.
If there's
right now.
4 cops subduing a dude and he's still fighting,
that was the whole thing.
And you know, like, they were so calm, just like, hey man, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. His girlfriend's screaming and crying and everybody's filming. It's like, man, step off. Let the guy do the job.
They're like, oh, I think you're supposed to film cops because they're always evil. That's right. Okay, I'm gonna pull my phone out.
Right.
And then then some security guard from a building next door came. He's like, I saw what those cops did and I don't like it. And he's like, I'm gonna testify in court for y'all. Like, Jesus. I think everyone just wants to be a little famous. I don't know.
Yeah, right. It's weird.
Get those viral videos.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
So while that was good. Yeah,
that was San Antonio's great. Omnis.
Definitely memorable.
Yeah. What about Houston? You guys doing Houston? You playing like Rudyard's?
Yeah. Rudyard's.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's that going? This weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How is that place for you?
It's been good so far.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a pub.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's very an Irish pub, and the venue's upstairs.
Yeah.
Now, we had a really sweet show there last time, I think, with Ex-Optimist I think they're from College Station. That was sweet.
Okay.
You know those venues that are like, you don't like, you get in there and you put the stuff in there and you're like, how is anyone going to come to this? Like this, how? And then they do. It's like, oh, wow, this is a venue in town that has shows that people like to go to on top of an Irish pub. Okay.
Dude, I started playing that place in like 1989.
Hell
that was
yeah.
my first gig there.
Oh,
and
wow.
it was old then.
Yeah.
They didn't have, the upstairs was not happening then. Because I remember I played like July 4th, like 1991, and it was in the downstairs. than to you. Yeah, but I've since played upstairs. I like it there, man.
Yeah, but it's like that's like, thank you for climbing the stairs to come see us. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just always surprised that people will come see a show. Like, not that I doubt our
last like few shows we played out of town have been like that too.
I was gonna say, just like Brian, dude.
Yeah, we played in this place in Beaumont too. It was just straight up like restaurant that had a stage. And they were super hospitable and really nice.
What's it called?
Log on Cafe.
That's like the main. That seems to be like the main.
Is it like good food?
Yeah.
Killer gumbo there.
My bandmate Trish Murphy is writing an article for some like Texas music magazine or something about venues and food, and she was going there today. She actually asked me if I wanted to go to Beaumont, and
I said, honestly,
and second of all, I got Wonderbitch coming.
some of the best hospitality I think I've ever received. Like there was the woman who runs the venue has like this beautiful, like old school, like house on stilts. This huge sprawling house that's just like right next to a dam reservoir, and they have like half the house set up for bands to stay there. So every time a band comes through town and plays there,
that's awesome.
They have a bowl of condoms in the bathroom. Like that.
Yeah, they have like a bunch of extra.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, that's yeah.
Like here's four bottles of water, bowl of condoms. You didn't bring any girls, but there's a bowl of condoms in the bathroom.
Here's some toothbrushes. Yeah. And then they cooked us omelets in the morning. It was fantastic.
That is wicked, man. Yeah. There's not Chantel a lot of that Elliot, anymore. Man. There used to be that kind of stuff all the time.
Same
there
with
used,
last night.
There used
yeah,
to
last
be
night was the same thing.
Where'd you guys play last night?
We played in
Victoria, Texas.
Victoria, Texas.
Look at you. Yeah. You guys are doing like Sunday nights in places.
Oh, well, no, last no. night.
Oh, two nights ago.
The
oh,
night
two
nights ago.
Okay.
We got back last night.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we stayed with Lucia. That was the name of the band, right?
Lachusa.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Alex, you were at something I did with Austin Music Foundation.
He was here, though.
The
he
panel,
was
you were there, too.
Yeah. He was checking notes on a MacBook looking all like studious.
You were?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, it was the regional national booking.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
How do you guys do it? Are you trading shows with bands?
There's a little of that.
You know, it's just a lot of reaching out. Honestly, Corey, our bass player who's at work right now, he does a lot of the footwork, man. He's super hard working, and he's always reaching out. And we've been working with a friend of ours, Nathan, who works up at Swan Dive, and he's been helping us book some stuff in April with another band. And
well, dude, that's the key. Like when I first had my own like band that played clubs, you know, Fitzgerald's in Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like they managed our band, and it was like easy as fuck then, because then they would reach out to other clubs and everybody had their own little band, so they'd reach out to the Dallas people and be like, hey, we'll throw our guys on your bill, you know, if you throw, you know.
That's kind of
it's a whole networking thing, you know, like it's really important.
So that's good that you're getting that guy, that there's someone behind you, not just y'all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just making it plain to, now that we have the internet, you can build, I don't like to call it propaganda because it's not lies, but you're building the
story,
the edifice or whatever, that you are out there working hard and you're getting people to the shows and stuff. Like, just make sure that there's evidence of it, and then people will book you. Like, oh, okay, they actually do their homework.
And it's easy for those people to research, you know, like they can look up your band and they can see like the effort that you're putting in.
Yeah.
Show
that you're making effort. That was like the big revelation to me.
But that panel was interesting because I never realized like the simple questions. You know what I mean? Like most of the questions that people were asking at that were pretty basic stuff. I feel like how do you start? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to think like when I was at that point in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's weird because there's a thing that I don't think anyone really addresses, that like when you first, I don't know if you remember when you first started your first band, you are in your head and you're in your little world where you have like your couple of friends that they're always willing to talk about your band with you and stuff. So you kind of imagine that everybody is kind of like just waiting for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's just kind of like you don't really know any better.
Let's show them what we got, guys.
Yeah. And so I felt like there was a lot of that, like, well, I took him my CD and I dropped it off and I never heard from him.
Yeah,
because that guy's just dying to hear from, like, Steve, the acoustic guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What is Steve, the acoustic guy, going to finally bring me his demo?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's got sunglasses on in his headshot that he looks so cool. I got to have him.
I feel like when I first started, my first band, we got lucky because like the first show that we played, I was 16, you know, we had all of our friends from school came and it was outside in Jacksonville, like an hour and a half away. We brought like 75 people to the show just because we were in a small town.
Yeah.
And like, that's the advice I would give to somebody who's looking to book a show. It's like, get anywhere and bring 100 people there and you will immediately have leverage.
That's always the hardest thing to say because I mean, I meet people sometimes like, oh yeah, nobody came, man. The club just really did not. You're like, the club?
It's 50-50. Yeah.
Come
you know,
on,
like,
man.
People that came left, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Venues definitely have that responsibility to like make sure they're bringing people to their business. It's like a restaurant, you know, like you're responsible at a certain point to make sure that you're putting in the work to make sure people come to your place in the first place. But a band, like that's why they're hiring you for that night. They're hiring you for the people that you bring to their club to drink.
See, that's another thing I think that people just don't. They don't really. It's like when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You don't realize your parents have to go work.
Yeah.
You know that maybe your mom has to work like three shifts at you know some horrible place just to get you a fucking Xbox. But all you think is like, Mom, you got to get me that Xbox. And people look at the very clubs nice. Like that too. They don't ever walk away and go like. I've talked to people that are like, oh, you know, man, they said we were good and we played there a couple of times. They just never have us back. I'm like, well, did people come? Like, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
They let you play there a couple of times to nobody. And yeah, they're probably like, shit, you're good. Too bad nobody comes.
Yeah.
Or we'd have
yeah.
you play.
Like, it's just part of the process, I guess, where you break all your illusions early on. Like, you just got to make sure you try something and then something will shatter in your vision of how it goes. And then you'll know the next thing to try. You know
right.
I mean?
So your bass player handles a lot of the booking. Do you guys have a pretty fair and good work distribution?
Corey assumes a lot of the responsibility.
Okay.
But like yeah, it's we definitely try to make sure that everybody, you know, does it.
Has something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like we the pendulum of the work ethic is always in our it's like forefront in our minds. Like it's very we're very like who's you know, people will offer to work when it's needed and stuff, so
that's good.
Yeah,
that's always good. That's a sign of a band that
can
stay together.
It's the only thing that gets results. You know what I mean? It's like the results will start lagging if we don't pass the ball, and you know what I mean.
Or if only one person's doing something instead of you know teamwork.
Yeah,
it's like two people together is 250% of effort instead of 200.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like too is that you're doing a place like Victoria. Like I remember, and I don't want to say like back in the day, but like in the 90s when I toured like shit, like with bands and like just made a living like playing clubs like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Waco, Victoria, and Corpus, those are all like, once you get people there, dude, you're the only fucking thing going on in town when you go there.
Absolutely, man.
I saw the light. Like, I anticipated, like, just every other band, like, oh, we're just going to hit major cities, like, all around the country. Or if we just tour Texas, we'll just play, you know, the obvious, like, major cities.
Yeah, there's tons of people that want to go see a band there.
The very first time we went to the Valley and played McCown and Brownsville, those were fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, we got fans down here.
Yeah.
They're like, we never get to hear rock and roll. Please come back.
Like, I feel like I owe it
really?
To people to come
shit,
back.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Like, if they like it that much, I'll definitely come back.
And that, so, you know, like, a lot of credit to Corey. Like, that's been his thing that he's been saying the whole time. He's like, you know... Go to these small towns because people are hungry for good music, you know, and they're hungry for a real performance. And
this one woman was like, hey, come back in June. I'll pay you like $500 to play my birthday party. And we're like, that'll do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've just been like totally, like the markets that are in Texas have like totally surpassed my expectations. Like there's plenty of people in like all these college towns that are in the state.
And Beaumont. Like, I mean, that's a college town too. Lamar University is there. Yeah. And that can be a great show.
I think every town we've hit on like this, you know, the Texas circuit, it's been like,
are people going
kind of college
to College Station anymore?
Man, we had an awesome show in Bryan, which is, I've been told the
same thing.
Same
place.
Yeah. But don't tell them that.
Yeah. They're,
it's one of those things.
But man, we played a little place, Revolutions, and I mean, I walked in. It was the same thing. You walk in, you're like, "How is anybody come to this place?" Like, it's so small, and it was cold outside.
The PA didn't work barely.
The PA was like a 6-channel like powered mixer, and it was incredible show. Like, everybody was there, and that's the best thing about those towns, because they don't have a lot of music coming through there. You know, like we could take it for granted here in Austin. Like, they're there 100%. They're not on their phone. They're not like talking to their friends. They're watching the band. They're actually like taking it in, and it's really it feels better on stage. Oh, it just feels absolutely much better.
It's like that house party vibe, you know, where like everyone's like, ooh, music, and they're just listening to it and dancing.
And they're like, they're there with you, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was skeptical at first for like, you know, the person that booked it for us was like, yeah, it's kind of got a house party vibe. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
So you won't be able to hear the singing, is that what you're saying?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know if that's going to sell me for a venue, but then we got there and it was that exact vibe, and I love that vibe. Like, I miss playing house parties. Like, that's always the most enthusiastic audiences, and that show was a blast.
Yeah. There used to be these badass co-ops in, well, there still are, but they used to have these parties in West Campus. They're fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Just awesome shows and like fucking four bands and, you know, that's PA sounded like shit, beer sounded just, like shit, just, but it was a fucking scene.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like where we came from, me and Alex, where we started playing in bands together, like that was the scene, was just house parties, like, because it's... there's about like two like hip venues in town, and then it's like
this is Bloomington, Indiana.
But the house party scene, like that's where it's at, and that's actually kind of like where you get credibility in Bloomington.
Yeah.
It's like if you like headline like a house party show, like an established, they pretty much have like established venues at their houses
run by 20-year-olds.
It's awesome. And, but they do a great job. They get the bands that come like that are touring to these house parties. Like that's where the scene is, and like but those parties were.
You just got to make sure you play. You got to make sure that your slot is before 1 a.m. because if you play at 1, there's like a 83% chance the cops are coming. So
they're always cool. Though, so
they're usually cool, but yeah.
I hate to have to do this, but just
Like,
sounds great though. But
yeah.
That was always a good motivator early on when the cops were telling us, hey, sounds great, but yeah, keep it down.
But yeah, so like to playing the, you know, shows that have that kind of house party vibe, like feels great. Like those are always awesome shows.
Very awesome. Yeah. Where are you guys playing in Dallas?
Are we playing Dallas?
Did you? Yeah, I think you mentioned it as a town. Sorry.
We don't have anything booked in Dallas right now, but that's something that we're hitting it in April. We just haven't booked it yet, basically. Like Dallas, Denton, Fort Worth are definitely like on the map for us. So we'll see how that goes. I lived in Dallas for a couple of years, and I love Dallas. I love the music scene
Me too.
It's very like Austin, I feel like it's kind of scattered around, you know, like those house parties are still going on here. We're just old now and we don't we're not
like,
plugged in.
I also like there's like that Don't Dallas My Austin. Have you ever heard someone say that or seen a bumper sticker that says that? Mm-hmm. And in some ways I'm kind of like, well, dude, the thing about the music scene up there is you've got all these guys that
they've been doing it forever.
Sold millions of records up there. Like, you know, the Nixons, the Toadies, the fucking Deep Blue Something.
They
like
dudes
that I Deep Blue Something. That I spent a lot of time touring with and doing all that shit. And they're a little more industrious than...
I was just going to say this. Actually, probably more industry
than the slacker Austin vibe. Yeah.
That's just Dallas in general, man.
Nobody like there would get a weekly show at a place. Like, that's not a thing people do. But people do it here like, oh, no, man, finally got Tuesdays, man. that's bad, but that's, you know, I think that a good balance between the two is good.
They probably mean don't uptown my Austin.
Yeah,
don't uptown Dallas my Austin. We don't need Barbies. Like, I think that's what they're talking about. We don't need Barbies and frat boys.
Where do you guys go here? Like, where do you go? Like, when you go out, like, oh, I'm going to go
out. I love
Red
River. Red River seems to be, it's like the perfect mix of excitement and good music. And
like, we went to like three different shows the other night. Yeah. Like, it was great. And it was like a Wednesday night and people were out and they were having fun. So,
so
it's the Mohawk, Cheer Up,
Swan Dive,
Barracuda.
Went to Barracuda for the first time.
I've never been there.
They gutted out.
That's
Red 7. They gutted out everything.
Oh, really?
From Red 7. It's totally different. The dudes from Hotel Vegas started it.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's got a good vibe. The sound was amazing. It doesn't look like an inhabited building on the outside. So they need to get a sign or something out
there. Or they might just try to keep it hip and like, you know, it might just be one of those things where like, let's just not put a, let's not put a sign on it. It's called Barracuda, but you just don't tell anyone.
I've heard about the speakeasy on the east side that happens. That's like all night. I don't know what it's called or anything, but I know that you have to know someone and say a thing and you go there and you can hang out.
Yeah, we haven't made it yet.
Like no phones, no.
Is that like Midnight Cowboy?
I don't know.
Yeah, like Midnight Cowboy downtown, it's like you have to know the password. And there's like a
Midnight Cowboy, that just sounds seedy.
Yeah.
Like, well,
why would you name your place
like
after that creepy movie?
Yeah, right? It's like in like a small little office building on 6th Street. super nice sounds, cocktails and stuff.
It sounds like a Stefan thing. The hottest club is Midnight Cowboy. You can try to revive Ratso Rizzo.
It sounds like some club in Chicago that's trying to kind of have a Texas vibe.
I don't know. Yeah. It sounds like a male brothel.
Yeah, it does sound like a male brothel. I didn't want to sound homophobic, but I wouldn't go to a place called Midnight Cowboy because not that there's anything wrong with that, of course, but also
there's like a cowboy or like a country club over on Ben White 71 called Midnight Cowboy too.
Really?
Oh,
so people all this time are like, oh, you have to go to Midnight Cowboy. It's so awesome. Like the drinks are great. They've got an awesome whiskey selection, and I'm like. There?
That's the place that has the little Western town in it,
inside of it.
I played there for like the series wrap party of that football show.
Oh, Friday Night Lights?
Friday Night Lights. Oh,
nice. Wait, are you talking about the ghost town?
No, that's the thing. But I'm talking about that club. And inside, when you go inside...
There's a tiny town?
No, it just... There's facades. Like, all the walls are like facades of like you're in the little
like
tiny...
Disney World.
Yeah.
Six Flags.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
My friends filmed a video there the other day.
Oh, that's cool.
It'd be interesting. Yeah. It'd be weird. So you guys, you do a Red River?
Yeah, I'm usually there when I go out. I park on the east side and walk to Red River.
Wow, that's a
Swan Dive has been treating us like family recently. Just like when we go there, we get hooked up, and they're really nice, and they always will put us on a show if we want. And
our
that's kind of my home base at this point.
Our best shows in Austin too have been there.
Always Swan Dive.
It's always just has like such an awesome energy there.
Something connected
it's,
between
it's
us.
It's also
and them.
Nice when you. I think people have that. You know, you walk in, and they're like, "Hey, Alex, what you?" You know,
right?
They know you
like,
drink.
Oh, I'm coming back.
You know. They always give you band prices even on the when you're not playing.
You bet.
That's a good,
It's like, oh, we must have done something right here, but I appreciate it. Hell
there
yeah.
were a few clubs like in the 80s and 90s here that would, if you were like a guy that was out playing, even if you didn't play that place, but they knew you, you never paid cover anywhere.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd like to get
self-sustaining.
Yeah. That's really all I'm looking for.
The problem is now I think there's so many musicians and they're like, they make up 50% of the thing that like they kind of need everyone to pay cover.
Oh, you play around a lot. You play around a lot.
We're talking about demographics. Like, I mean, that's the demographic that most bands play to here in Austin is other musicians.
Yeah.
But don't you feel good? I played a show at the Townsend in December. And there was not a lot of people there in a small place, but like almost everyone, I had almost everyone in the audience come up and play with me at some point because everyone was a musician. And in some ways I was sad, but then another way I was like, man, like, you know, George Reith plays with Ringo and he came to see me play. Like, what the fuck? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's the family, dude. That's what makes Austin, Austin. Like,
yeah.
Did you guys see...
We're all kind of in this together. You know?
Yeah.
Did you guys see... this thing, Ringo Starr took an online quiz, which Beatle are you? And he got John Lennon. and he goes, what is this bullshit? It says, you are a visionary and got the soul of a prophet and you're very sensitive. And he's like, what is this shit?
I saw this interview with him when that Cirque du Soleil thing, when they started the Beatles show or the Love show, whatever it was. And he was on there and they were asking him some question. I think it was like Larry King or something. He was like, you know, dude, like I lived it. I don't remember any of this shit. And people come up and try and talk to me about shit. And I'm like, dude, I do not sit around and talk about what bass Paul used on. Like, I don't know. I was there. I was doing it. I was worried about what I was doing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I was playing drums.
Yeah, and that's he's like, and also like, I think about other stuff. Like, I'm a fan of other stuff. Like, I'm thinking about movies that I love and stuff like that. Like, you're thinking about the Beatles. So it's kind of fun.
I like to sit there and think about my career over and over again, and just in case someone asks me about it.
Although, imagine, man, like if you were in those guys' shoes, Jesus, like, what else does anybody ever even talk to you about?
Right?
Yeah, right.
I would hate to be that famous. That just sounds way too intense. Like. Yeah,
I would love it, but that part would be weird.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like whenever you talk to some stranger, it's like we're just going to talk about
you
me.
And everything.
Like, I'm sure you learn how to
just
sure.
what I did in the Beatles, not like you know everything else. I don't know.
What kind of yogurt do you like?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do you guys? Well, sorry. What?
I mean, that's kind of the whole. You learn how to like divert the conversation.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
hey, nice shirt.
I'm out of here.
Where'd you get that shirt?
Hey, I gotta
it's
go.
Actually a Beatles shirt that I made. Oh, let me show you the back.
Oh, wow, that's me. That's amazing.
I get worried about that sometimes with the show whenever I interview people that I like. Like, there's this guy, Dwight Twilley, that I've listened to almost my whole life that I've had on, and I'm just like, right before it, I'm like, am I going to be like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney? And like, what am I actually going to do when this thing happens?
Remember when I listened to your record? Remember how you did that one note that I love?
That was awesome. That was awesome.
So you guys haven't recorded these other songs that are going to be
writing. We're like,
you're writing them.
Yeah, they're all kind of at their own percentage.
What does that look like? Like, does somebody come in with a pretty fleshed out idea, or does this come out of jams that you record, or what's
a lot of these are based off of stuff I wrote. A lot of these new ones are based off of stuff I wrote a long time ago that was a little too 80s at the time. Like, but all of a sudden, everyone's kind of like turning an eye to some of those 80s tones, and they don't sound as cheesy anymore. They sound kind of right. So these guys have been finding things they like about them and then adding their own spin on it, and then we just roll with it.
Building on top of it.
Yeah.
Previous musicians we've played with have kind of had more of or less of a liking for, like, you know, classic 80s tones.
Yeah.
So they would kind of get vetoed, like, almost automatically because we felt it wouldn't fit, I guess, like, with what we're doing, like, with the older projects we had. But now that it's, like, you know, Wonder Bitch has that vibe, it's like, oh, this shit's great. Like, why, we totally need to resurface this and try to work with it. But yeah.
So I've got, like, five of those in the pipeline if we need to pull one out. Or we've been writing some from scratch, too, so... All kinds of stuff.
When you say 80s, like, and tones, you mean, like, Duran Duran?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Like, DX7.
There's
like
some
my
stuff,
DX7
like, super
keyboard.
Shitty.
Do
like,
what?
There's some stuff that's,
absolutely.
Like, super
oh, yeah,
shitty
yeah,
sounding.
Yeah. But just kind of...
Like, not You Belong to the City by Glenn Frey, but, like, Duran Duran, yeah. Like, maybe Howard Jones.
There's yes. There's a certain shittiness that I think is so much fun. So, like, I will steal from the quote-unquote shitty tones. But if you use it in a new way that's kind of like a wink, you know, like I think it can be really fun to listen to and nostalgic. It's yeah. also our age. Like, we were told to hate that stuff when we were kids, yeah. like by MTV and stuff. And then now that we're finally like, able to circle back and hear what was kind of cool about the production style, it's like that we can use a little bit of it. And Spotify, where
honestly,
it's all
the- like in the past few years, I the restaurant that I work at, one of my managers was like super into Michael McDonald as a joke.
Oh, yeah.
So he would always put on the Steve Winwood or the Michael McDonald Pandora stations, and I would just realize that every time it was on, I was in such a good mood.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like fucking it's great music. Slick. Like, this
yeah.
is awesome. And I've learned to appreciate, like, I mean, what they were doing with pop music at that time. It was actually substantive in a lot of ways, you know?
It's like when the 70s rock stars broke up from their bands and had to do something in the 80s, like, that's the tone that I always...
Shots with freedom.
Yeah. that's the tone. I love that tone right now. Maybe it's just hot, like, because I'm, like, almost 30. I don't know. Like,
almost kind of our story in a way.
Yeah.
The older bands we played in were, like prog rock bands and, like very more 70s and 60s influence.
Right,
and
right.
We're, like, then just yeah. doing the exact same path.
Exactly. It's like what do you do when no one wants to listen to prog anymore? Oh, you go 80s. Just like they did.
Yeah.
Well, it's, like, finding the balance between, like, the things that made that music good and last, and the fact that you still hear like Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears on the radio, like every
great
single
songs.
Day.
Mm-hmm.
Great
That's song. What it is.
It's great songs,
you know?
And like taking those elements and like merging it with what's modern and what's real now, and like the tools that we have nowadays, which is incredible. Like, I would love to know the music that those bands would have made with the technology and the tools that we have nowadays. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I feel like it would have been infinitely more.
Yeah.
So. We're kind of at that point trying to figure out.
I think it's great songs because I think that's the only thing that really lasts. Because even through, like, there's some. That's when I started out playing, like, in the 80s. You know,
yeah.
My first band I had was in like 1982. So as that, like, that was right before music started sounding super 80s.
Yeah.
It still
mm-hmm.
sounded
yeah.
kind of like late 70s new wavy.
Yeah,
sure. Talking heads.
And then all of a sudden, like, the drum machine became very prevalent and mm-hmm. gated reverbs and DX7s
gates,
and no longer analog keyboards,
right.
now digital keyboards
yep.
and all this kind of shit. And so I have an affinity for that stuff. And there's, like, sometimes I wonder, like, oh, I wish these guys... I wish no one was trying to make a record. Because that's the one thing about the 80s is people were trying to make records that sounded like it was the
80s. Right,
like,
yeah, exactly.
We're in the 80s now.
Yeah.
We're not in the 70s. Look at this.
There's a charm to that now, though. It's
yeah.
like, there's something so hilarious and tasty about those sounds now that I have to use them. I don't know.
Well, it's weird because I was having this conversation with someone a few weeks ago about dance music and like how like, you know, even like Yaz or New Order and shit that. Like those guys had great fucking songs. Yeah, and like the problem that I have with like the EDM that's happening is like it's
derivative.
Well, it's sonically oriented and not about a song.
Right, right.
Yes.
So there's no story. There's no real melody.
It's about provoking something on the dance floor. Like,
yeah, there's a pickup and slowdown thing that is the main focus of you dropping the beat and whatever. But it's just sound effects to sound cool when you're on hallucinogenic drugs. Or just, I mean, really.
Yeah. It's to guide you on the dance floor, I feel like. It's like a mass control. Not a negative way, but maybe. But it's just to control the dance floor when everyone feels what. People have started getting used to that and try to recreate it.
I mean, it's just like anything, any other kind of genre of music, though, you know? Because you have these big, huge acts, these EDM acts that are making shit tons of money, and they're playing all these festivals, and that's kind of how we see it.
It's just a dude.
Yeah, it's a dude, but you know, there's a dude with a whole production and marketing team behind him. Like, and you have all these mainstream acts in that way, and their entire focus is to elicit like a physical response from sound waves, like hitting your body. But at the same time, there are people out there who are using that same kind of those same elements to create a story and to like actually build a song with those kind of sounds, and it's beautiful, and it's very, very chill, and it gives you that same kind of reaction that you get from listening to a song with that somebody wrote with a guitar, you know.
Right.
So there's like there's always two sides of that coin,
right?
And EDM is just such like a generic term at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, electronic dance music. Like, what is that? What does that mean? Tears for Fears could be electronic dance music.
Tears for Fears is fucking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I saw them twice.
We saw them. Did you see them last year?
No. I mean, I saw them like songs from the Big Chair tour.
I'm jealous.
And then on Sowing the Seeds of Love tour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were just jamming to that album yesterday on the way back from Victoria.
Sowing the
Big Chair. Songs from the Big Chair.
It's perfect start to finish.
So I'm still living in like 2005 with my car.
Yeah. She got cassettes and shit?
No, just CDs. Only CDs.
Oh, those are in my car, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So I've been like spending all my extra money on CDs just going up to Half Price Books or
luckily they aren't $20 anymore.
God. End of an ear and just like finding good ones and whatever I can. I've got two big CD cases now,
and it's nice to hear something in CD quality because it's more like Spotify's getting some better quality stuff, like there's Tidal and all that, but like now you can at least get close to CD quality on your phone, but to hear it on an actual CD, it's like it's still pretty nice.
Do you have ears like that?
Do what?
You have ears like that?
Yeah, I like to think so.
I definitely do, too. Like, I can hear that shitty stream quality.
I can't. Yeah.
I
really can't. It's so sad.
I can. It's in the cymbals. Yeah, definitely.
It's in the cymbals. It's in the snare. It's in the space, you know? Like, it just lacks space.
If you hear the cymbals sound like a little bit, then
I don't think I'm necessarily like an intense audiophile, but I definitely have, you know, preferences and, like, and standards, I would say, with, like, audio quality. But, like, that are, you know, it's got to sound pretty fucking good for me to like, you know, really get into it, and it definitely I think adds, but
that is kind obsessed, of the cool,
but like, you know, like you said, I also don't mind. I mean, if it's a low quality MP3, it's like I can still jam to this. It's
right
fine. But yeah, sure, I prefer it to be better quality, but
that is kind of an interesting thing sonically that happened in the 80s, because once people started running everything except the vocals direct, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
it totally made this such a clean. And such separation between instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fun. That's kind of what we've been working with a little bit now. It's like, I used to not like that, but there's something you can, with that limit, like everything's about limitations when you're making art, and like with that limitation of everything being clean, how can you make it fun and good? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah. it's all about playing within the limits.
It is. It is. So you got this single coming out. You got shows at Swan Dive. Do you guys do any weird covers in your show set? Okay.
Mm-hmm. We should. Oh, so the other, Bowie died last month or whenever that was. Yeah. I don't know time anymore. We got asked to play one of the several Bowie parties.
Right.
And we quickly went and learned the first or side A of Let's Dance.
Oh, yeah.
And we played those three songs through, and everyone exploded. They loved it so much. We're like, man, we got to get our other songs this good. Like,
Let's
our real
Dance,
songs.
China Girl, and Modern Love.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, you know, it was like 12 bands that played this event, and everybody was...
Nobody plays those.
Yeah, they're like, everybody's like, pick three Bowie songs, and we're like, all right, let's play the ones that are the danciest ones. Yeah. Like, and everybody just kind of lost their mind. Everybody else was playing like the sappy,
I was thrilled,
you know, like sentimental Bowie songs, which I love. But I, you know, like, you don't want to play, you don't want to have everybody playing all those. Do you think Bowie
station
would want
to
play
station,
all
like
those?
How do you follow along to that in a concert? Like, it's like,
I don't think Bowie would be have any interest in a show of people playing his tunes.
Right?
Oh no, definitely.
It was
not.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah. Especially now that he's dead. No, I'm joking.
I remember after that show, after we played our set, this woman, I think she said she drove away from Houston to check out this tribute show.
Wow.
And she was like, and I've seen Bowie like several times. She's like, you guys were fucking amazing. I was like, that means a lot. Like, yeah. I mean, I wanted to do it out of respect for Bowie, obviously, and to actually do it justice. And if somebody that drove from out of town to check out this random tribute show and had that much of an emotional experience, she's like, I was damn near in tears. I was like, wow, that's
the only time I ever saw him was Serious Moonlight Tour when I was in grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. Like, apparently we pulled it off so well that the next day I went to get my jacket. It was like the next night. Some guy walked up, he's like, hey, great set, man. I was like, wait, is it still last night? That's amazing. Yeah. He recognized my face and...
Yeah, great set.
It's like he was still standing there from 24 hours ago.
You know what song I love on that record is the Cat People song, the Putting Out Fire with Gasoline song?
Yeah.
That song's fucking badass.
Yeah, it is.
It's got some great Stevie moments on it, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's like one song that's a little weak or whatever, but...
Shake it, that's my line. Yeah. I feel like a sailboat. Yeah,
he feels like a sailboat.
Yeah.
There's no smoke.
What a great artist! So, what else do you do? That, I mean, like, what other covers? Like, what do you do? Throw any tears for fears?
Yep.
Yeah.
Glad you asked.
Yeah.
We do. Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Cool.
His bands in the past have done Head Over Heels.
Yeah. I sing that in this band I'm in, Skyrocket.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Hey, there's a weird tuning to that picking guitar part, right? I learned it one day on YouTube, and it showed me a weird tuning, and that finally sounded like the song. You know how you can learn a song and you're playing the right chords, but just the voicing isn't exactly right?
Yeah. It almost sounds like, you know how people have been tuning down their guitars to like 8 hertz under, you know, like to 432 instead of 440?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's just subtly like down-tuned just a little bit.
I feel like some producers back then were like, it's too fast. We just slow the whole tape down to the whole record.
No, that's exactly what I think. I think that they recorded it and they slowed it down just a little bit. Like they did with When the Levee Breaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it totally changes the vibe of the song.
Yeah.
But every time I play it to that YouTube video, I'm like, I know it's the right, the strings are all tuned properly.
Right.
So they must have like slowed it down on the tape, or it must have happened on accident or something.
We should try that on something. We'll record a kind of one of our faster songs.
And just drop it down like 8 hertz.
But at the mastering studio, we'll have them put it on tape and then play back the tape at like 98% or something.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
It's got that weird vibe to it. That's why I love When the Levee Breaks. Like my favorite Led Zeppelin song is it's just like haunting.
Yeah.
And then they slowed it down like 15% or something like that.
Nice. Yeah. Any bands in town you guys are into? That you go,
we saw Gloves.
I go see
Gloves
International. They don't do much promotion for themselves, but that's why I'm doing it right now for them, because they're awesome.
Just sexy, man. Like, such a sexy band.
Yeah.
It's like a, their bass, it almost looks like a Miles Davis project. Like, it's real, like, it's lots of space, and there's just two girls kind of, like, saying this, like, catty stuff into the mic every now and then, and, like, just talking. And then there's like these kind of funk riffs and like a real, like kind of almost like a break drummer.
Like, and I mean, like I'm kind of a snob when it comes to guitar gear, you know, like I tube amps, you know, like it's such like an important thing.
Oh, you didn't get a JC-120 with your 80s revival thing?
Well, this guy was playing like a $75 crate 30-watt, you know, like solid state amp from like 1990. And, It didn't affect it at all. It was incredible. Like, the show was incredible.
You talking about
like,
the guitar player on the right or the middle?
The singer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My friend Aynar calls those crate. He uses the amp crate.
Tarjay from Tarjay.
Quit trying to church it up.
Guitar Santo.
Sometimes that's all you need.
That was my first amp, dude. It was crate. It's one of those amps.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I know Butch is really digging Calliope musicals. I'm sure you...
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, like, that was the last... We saw them play it, I think it was Spider House.
Yeah.
And... You know, I was wasn't sure if I was in the mood to go out and see local music. Just sometimes it's just like I
like stand up comedy.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, and like I'm sitting there like in a chair checking out Clappy Musicals. I'm like, hey, hang on a sec. This is like fucking great. Like these guys are really good. I was it was like the first show I really gave them like my full attention, and I was like, that's a fucking band, dude.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are fantastic.
And I've never seen a show where they didn't bring something special, like their graffiti gun, or not graffiti, confetti gun.
Okay, confetti gun.
And like, or they'll have like a giant, it's very, like, I think they're taking some cues from Flaming Lips in a good way, and that they're making it their own, but like about making the show, even but on a local level, doing what the Flaming Lips do is what a great idea. Like, just let's just make something crazy out of all of our shows with props, and like, and then the band's tight to back it up.
Engaging the audience, you know, it's such like a difficult thing to do sometimes, so they really have that vibe to them, and they really bring
they put in the extra effort.
That show alone sold me. I was like, I love this band. These guys are
I like them a lot.
They're fantastic.
They booked coming on this show like months in advance. Like in January, they booked coming in at the end of March.
Okay,
so something's going on with them. Like a new album?
Yeah,
or something?
Do. Yeah, I think they do have a new album. I think it's out already though, so I don't know. Maybe they were planning for it to come out later.
I don't know.
Or maybe they're doing a tour for the album starting in March. I don't know.
Maybe they just want to come back on the show.
Yeah, it's fun.
Maybe
man.
They just really like it.
Yeah. Hey, maybe some people just really like me. I'd like to know who these people are. So
is that a, is that a fart maker?
Yeah, my aunt
got me
this.
You got a baby in the other room? Is that the baby monitor?
I told you my age earlier, right? Isn't that weird that this is what my aunt thinks? Oh, you're gonna love this.
Is it just 19 different farts?
Was she wrong?
No, it has different. What?
Was she wrong?
No. No, man, she knows me, man. She knows what I like.
Do they have the sound where it's like, ding, like the guy spitting into the spittoon?
No.
I will never, ever in my life cease to think farts are funny.
Yeah.
Out of anything.
It's genetic. It's like,
it's just hilarious when it happens. If you don't laugh at a fart, your life is in a bad place. You need to reconsider things, like, because it's hilarious.
Yeah, farts are funny.
It's wind off a turd. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Man, my dad used to roll with this guy named Al Cardenas, and he was a congressman in like the 70s, and then just he became a very successful like corporate lawyer, and then he was like the chairman of the Florida GOP like in 2000 when the whole like recount thing happened.
Oh,
and everything.
Man.
And so he posted something, and one of my uncles sent me a thing, and like, oh, look at this guy, it's, you know, remember him? And I was like, oh yeah, I totally remember that guy. So I wrote him. I followed him on Twitter. Then he started following me on Twitter. And then I put some tweet like I was going to change my penis's name legally to Elvis Van Halen. See?
Yeah, that's funny.
See what I'm saying? I don't care how old you are. I'm almost 50. That is fucking hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Like, I thought about it, and it made me laugh, and I was like, I'm going to put it on there. And he wasn't following me anymore.
I feel like that's Corey's MO. That's our bass player. Like,
Corey's just, like, watch me write stuff as if I was 14.
Yeah, like, on Facebook. He's got, like, a whole persona that, and his like goal is to just try and just weed out all the people that would be offended by anything.
Yeah.
So he can get to the point where he can just say anything and it's okay on his social media.
Yeah.
It's, like, the opposite of, it's of a safe space.
Yeah.
It's, like, safe space for somebody who's, like, a shock jock.
Yeah.
Shock jock.
Yeah.
Shock jock.
Corey should be a shock jock.
He's got the voice for it.
Yeah. It's a Houston shock jock. Welcome back, Katie's WH1X. I'm Corey Spears. Corey and the Sea Dog. No, Sea Dog.
Does he really
morning.
Talk like that?
Yeah, he's got a drawl. I'm probably
awesome.
Exaggerating it.
But he laughs like Ernest T. Bass, if you've ever seen the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
Just watch another episode with Ernest T. That's Corey's laugh.
Corey, you're here in spirit.
Yeah.
You are here in spirit. And you're doing a great job. You guys are booking shows. You're getting around. People can find you at wonderbitch.com. You have all kinds of, you know, it's a good website. And you're on all the social media outlets.
Oh, yeah.
When needed. Who handles Twitter?
That's Corey. I'm Instagram. He's Twitter.
All right.
I'm actually afraid to look at our Twitter. I think he might do. I think every now and then he sneaks in a shock jock thing on our Twitter, but I'm not sure.
I like shock jock stuff. Okay, your single Miracle Drive will be available by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Let's play it.
On Wonder Bitch. Look for it on wonderbitch.com. The song Miracle Drive. And also, you're doing a show, Swan Dive, Saturday, April 9th.
You got it. Yeah.
That's a great day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're also playing the 5th here in the parish. March 5th.
Okay.
at the parish with...
this might be out after that, but...
This might be out after that. That's right. Are you guys doing South By? We didn't even talk about that. You guys in South By?
We got some showcases.
Yeah, we've got a busy week.
Good.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Good.
We didn't do it. We didn't get any unofficial stuff.
We didn't get official.
Or official stuff, excuse me. But yeah, we've got probably like 6 performances that week.
Great. So. And people can find those on... They'll be able to find them at wonderbitch.com?
Yeah, they're all on our website.
This will probably come out afterwards. I meant that for my own sake.
Hopefully you enjoyed South By, and hopefully you...
You saw Wonder Bitch.
Yeah, hopefully you stayed hydrated and avoided the traffic as much as you could.
Yeah. I'll ask you about that later, because I want to go see you guys. And I've got stuff going on that week, but it's all just during the day. So
cool.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anything else people should know before you go? Thanks for coming by, guys.
No, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah.
It's a blast.
I like you guys. I like your music, too.
Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. You're good guys.
I shall cheer for you. Gladiator.
I shall cheer for you every time you are up to bat in rock and roll. Yeah, I love hanging out with those dudes. Wonder Bitch, man. Fantastic band, fantastic dudes. Get out there and find them at wonderbitch.com. Go to their single release show in Austin, Texas this Saturday, April 9th at Swan Dive. And speaking of single release, we're going to debut their single, Miracle Drive, in just a second. Let me just tell you, thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank the guys for coming by. You can find their single and all about them at wonderbitch.com. Get out there and find out about them. When you're out there, don't forget to like our Facebook page and subscribe to us on iTunes if that's how you listen to podcasts. Or you could subscribe on Stitcher. Great app. Okay? Here is the world premiere of Miracle Drive by my friends Wonder Bitch. Get out there and check them out this Saturday if you're in Austin, Texas, Saturday, April 9th at Swan Dive, all right? Thank you guys for letting us be the first people to ever play you Miracle Drive by Wonder Bitch. Here it is. Let's get down.